I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Thank you for being with us on this Friday. We're going to begin today with a story our Global Nation desk has been following closely. Here in the U.S., the immigration debate often gets reduced to this. Should migrants be allowed to stay here, or should they be sent home? But here's the thing. For many migrants, being sent home can mean death at the hands of the same violent people they were trying to escape from, whether it's drug gangs or corrupt cops. And being allowed to stay here, that often means a long period of limbo in U.S. government detention centers. So let's start with what a couple of reporters have found out about those centers. Valeria Fernandez is a fellow at the International Center for Journalists. She's been reporting for months about one particular facility in Pennsylvania, the Berks County Residential Center. And recently, 22 women there went on a hunger strike. So, Valeria, you visited this detention center. What were the conditions like there?
Well, this is one of the facilities that is the farthest from the border because it's in Leesport, Pennsylvania. It's surrounded by a really beautiful park. But when you go in there, you realize that it's still a facility and when the women are deprived of their freedom. The women are constantly under the guard of some of the staff members of the facility, and they have, you know, certain times for their meals, certain times for waking up and going to bed. So it's an environment that is definitely controlled. And it was really clear that they didn't have enough personnel, at least when I was there, that could communicate with them in Spanish. And that was one of the complaints that I keep hearing from many of the women that I talked to there and also when I spoke with them over the phone.
Remind us of the purpose of these detention centers.
Well, this was one of the answers that the federal government came up with in order to keep families together. You know, we've had over the past few years an influx, not only of unaccompanied children coming through the southern border, but also children with their mothers from Central America fleeing a number of situations there, especially violence perpetrated by the gangs. So the government came up with the idea of having these facilities to keep the families together. But the situation is that while the goal now is to have them there just about 20 days, some of the women detained, especially in Pennsylvania, they've been there for 365 days.
Yeah, I mean, the frustration among these women at this detention facility has led to this hunger strike. What's going on with that?
Well, they decided to start this hunger strike on August 8th. Right now, they are taking a break. It's a partial hunger strike because they're only having a meal, and they're giving the government 7 days to listen to their demands. And basically what they want is to be released. And I mean, in talking to them and talking to mental health experts that interview them, it's clear that the women are desperate. These mental health experts conducted some testing on the women. Some of them are depressed. Some of them present high levels of post-traumatic stress. And we're hearing also that the children are quite desperate, especially the teenagers. There's a letter written by the women and also in their conversations with me in which they say that the teenagers are thinking about escaping. Some of them are having suicidal thoughts. So in describing the facility, it's not just about the physical conditions and the services that they receive there, but it's also about the fact that being locked up is really affecting their state of being.
Yeah, and what'll happen to their kids if the mothers get sick while on their hunger strike?
The women were alleging that the federal government and the doctors and psychologists there were threatening them that if they got weak during the hunger strike, they could take their children away. And that's, I think, part of the reason why they decided to take a break.
Let me bring reporter Reynaldo Leaños Jr. into the conversation. This week, Reynaldo, you visited a shelter in San Antonio down in Texas for families that have just been released from detention. What does that shelter provide once these people get out of detention, actually?
Yeah, so what was kind of interesting was is that the shelter, one thing that it provides is some housing for a couple of days if they need it, or, I mean, they provide them with food, with water, with toiletries, or just anything like that. And also they bring in attorneys for, like, some legal services as well, or just, like, to ask for legal advice as well.
So what was it like when you visited this shelter, the conditions? Was it seemingly a step up from what these people face in the detention center?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. The place is called Casa de Raices, and it's basically a two-story wood frame house. And, I mean, these people who are living here, I mean, they have a kitchen, they have beds where they can sleep in, you know. They have a television, and they have a phone that they all can use. And when I first walked in, it was interesting because I had heard from several people, especially the director, was that a lot of these women and children, once they get out of detention, they're kind of traumatized. So when I walked in, I noticed very quickly that people were apprehensive, you know, about me. They didn't approach me or anything like that. They kind of kept their distance.
What kind of stories did you hear from them about how they were impacted by the time they spent in detention?
Yeah, so, I mean, I spoke to a Honduran woman, and one of the things she told me was that her son, because she traveled from Honduras to the United States, and she was traveling with her 15-year-old son, and she was telling me that he was taking it really hard, and his morale kind of was decreasing every single day. And here's one of the things that she said.
Mi hijo me dice, mami, mejor digámosle a migración, o digámosle...
What she's saying here is that her son says to her, Mom, tell immigration to deport us. And if they kill us over there, then they kill us. But I just don't want to suffer anymore. And what he was referring to was she was telling me that one of the reasons why they fled Honduras was because they wanted a large sum of money from her, you know, kind of like a rent almost, because these gangs, I mean, do that to people who live in the area. And also he was turning the age where they kind of start recruiting a lot of these young boys. And they even told her that if he didn't join, that they were going to send his body cut up in pieces to her. So that's one of the reasons why she fled. And I mean, she was just telling me that this journey and just being in detention center, they kind of are doubting, like, did we make the right decision? But she is hopeful for her day in immigration court.
So a question for both of you, Reynaldo and Valeria, with deportation in the air in this toxic presidential year, did you also hear concerns about that?
I mean, one of the things, I was just in southern Mexico, and I got a chance to talk a lot of youth that are coming, families that are coming, and there is the sense that they have to come to the United States before the elections, before it could maybe get tougher, you know, policies could get more strict, and there would be less chances. So that's a bit of a concern. But also, a lot of people are choosing to stay in Mexico as a destination just because of how difficult it's gotten to come to the United States.
In other words, people from Central America get to Mexico and they stop.
And they stop, and people from Central America are deciding to ask Mexico to offer them refugee status because it's gotten very, very difficult and dangerous to make it to the United States.
Reporters Valeria Fernandez and Reynaldo Leaños Jr., thank you both very much for telling us about what some of these people are facing in these detention centers. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.